Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is taken from the Holy Gospel, the road to Emmaus, where on this road we see the abiding presence of Jesus. Please be seated. He is risen. Easter proclaims the living Lord, as He Himself promised. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." The abiding presence of Jesus. The abiding presence of Jesus tells us that He is our constant companion. My dear friends, He is your best friend. Many of us have very close friends, friends that we can depend on. But here's the issue. They are human friends. And human friends are sinners, just like we are sinners. And there are those times when our best friend may even let us down. But our very best friend, the one who went to the cross for you and for me, the one who shed His precious blood for you and for me, the one who rose on the third day and ascended into heaven and there sits at the right hand of the Father, there interceding for you and for me, He is the very best friend for you and for me. He is a divine friend. He is God Himself. The disciples on that first Easter morning and that first Easter day, they desperately needed a friend. They desperately needed Jesus to be their abiding friend. You see, their hopes and their dreams were completely shattered. They had heard of His resurrection from the women, but they thought that the women were seeing things. They couldn't believe them. We heard last week that there was one who could not believe. You see, a little faith always needs something to believe in. Little faith must accept evidence. The disciples were overwhelmed. They were overwhelmed by tragedy. And it was difficult, very difficult for them to believe what Jesus had even promised to them Himself. Now I know that each and every one of us have undergone tragedy in our lives. The loss of 5 family members killed by a drunk driver has overwhelmed my family at one time. It was very tragic. But yet, we believed. And as our young friends heard last week, seeing is believing, but more important, believing is seeing. Therefore, we have this blessed assurance. We have the hope that Luke wrote about. But we had hoped that He was the one born of Israel, the one who would come and redeem Israel, as we heard from the book of Luke as the two men walked. We have these same hopes and dreams. We hope that Jesus is our Savior. We hope that He is the one who has come to redeem us. Yet there are many, many Christians who still doubt. They want to see the evidence. They want to see and then they'll believe, rather than believe through seeing, through the eyes of faith. As the two men were walking on their way to Emmaus, and by the way, Emmaus was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. An easy walk even in those days. We have to remember that in those days there were no cars, there were no bicycles or mopeds or scooters. There were only things called LPCs, as we called them in the military, leather personnel carriers, their sandals. They walked. They walked everywhere they went. And as these men walked on their way to Emmaus, there was one who came up behind them. And the one who came up behind them, he knew them. He knew all about them. He knew what they were talking about. And my dear friends, He knows about you. He knows your frustrations. He knows your sin. He knows what you struggle with, just as these two men were struggling. Jesus knows about death. Remember Lazarus? Jesus was told about Lazarus, yet he didn't rush off to see him. What did he do? He waited an additional 2 days, and he did this for God's glory. And we hear the words of Jesus, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." And we all know the story. Jesus stood at the tomb and he called out to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth." You and I will hear those same words, to come forth and to stand in his presence, because he knows us. We are his children. We also hear the psalmist write in the 139th Psalm, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You stretch out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." Isaiah also writes the same, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she would have no compassion on the son of her womb?" Even these may forget, yet God says, "I will not forget." No, my dear friends, God has not forgotten about you, just as he did not forget about his disciples and these two men as they walked to Emmaus. He joined them, but they could not recognize him. How much like ourselves when those tragedies strike. You see, my family could have certainly lashed out at God, losing 5 members at one time. They could have certainly blamed God for it, but they didn't. They were faithful. They had seeing eyes of faith. And in the tragedy, there was comfort, knowing that my great-grandfather and my great-grandmother and my great-uncle and great-aunt and my second cousin were with their Lord Jesus forever and ever. I never knew them. The Lord knows them, but I will know them in heaven. And because of what Jesus has done, I rejoice that I will see them with their Savior and my Savior and your Savior, and we will live in his kingdom forever and ever. So in your anxieties, dear friends, always remember that Jesus Christ is with you. As Jesus opened the scriptures to these men there at Emmaus, he does the same for you and me. He opens the scriptures and he shows us that the Old Testament is about him and the New Testament is the fulfillment of him, of that which was prophesied of the Christ. Yes, the Christ had to fulfill the scriptures, and he did, for he did it here at the cross. And my friends, the tomb will always be empty. Jesus is abiding with us now. He will abide with us forever and ever, because he is the risen Lord. So Jesus truly is your best friend. He has proven himself to be your best friend. But moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas, he is much more than that. Yes, he is your God. And since he is your God, we ask that he also be the head of your home. Notice that in our scripture lesson today, that Jesus acted like he was going to continue on, but the Jews, in true hospitality, invited him into their home. Jesus entered into their home. He entered into the home of the Emmaus disciples. They urged him to enter in, and he came in. You see, when we ask, Jesus responds. He is not some far distant God who doesn't really hear, who doesn't really care, but he is your God who lives in you and wants to respond to you and wants to be with you. He cares for you. He loves you. Again, he has proven himself. So Jesus enters into their home. He responds. And when Jesus responds, dear friends, you and I are always blessed, just as these two disciples were blessed. What did Jesus do? He does the same thing this morning. He took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it and he gave it to them. And then their eyes were open. Today, as you receive his body and blood, your eyes too will be opened, and you will see with eyes of faith what Jesus has done for you. No other God has done this. No other God can do this. Only the one true God. Only Jesus wants to abide with you. Only Jesus wants to be present with you, to feed you, to nourish you, to announce to you all your sins are forgiven. So as you invite Jesus into your homes, moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas, Jesus wants to bless your home. He wants to bless your home with his abiding presence. We know that in this day and age, which isn't much different than any day or age, that our homes are in trouble. The family is under assault. If Satan can destroy the family, he can destroy you and me. He can destroy the bedrock of our society. Thus, we have all kinds of issues in families today. Yes, families truly are in trouble. And families are truly in trouble because Jesus isn't there. Jesus has been excluded. He has been excluded in the home. He has been excluded in society. And in many respects, he's being excluded, even in churches. Therefore, as we read today, the very words of Jesus, he says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Study. The study of this book should be the bedrock of your family. It should be something that you do each and every day. And I know, yes, I know, you have so many other things that you must complete each day. But I have found that when I start my day without the Word of God, I seem so incomplete. It seems like my friend is not with me. It seems like the abiding presence isn't there, and my troubles seem to multiply. Now, maybe it's just me, and you're probably thinking, well, you're a pastor, and we expect you to do family devotions. We expect you to study God's Word. Well, God expects you to also study His Word. God also expects you to know His Word. After all, you are a Christian. And that's what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus. And as a follower of Jesus, you must know the truth, for only the truth will set you free. What do we find here in Scripture? What do we find when we study His Word? It reveals the truth to us, the truth of our sin, that you and I are poor, miserable sinners, as we just confessed. And there's no way around it. There's no way that we can slide under the door, if you will. There's no way that we can wiggle out of it. It's obvious. Our lives are obvious. How we relate to people is obvious. And how people relate to us is obvious. That this is a sin-filled world. Therefore, this book reveals to us the truth. That you and I, we need a Savior. We cannot save ourselves. How can a sinner save a sinner? Only a perfect man can appease God. And that perfect man is Jesus Christ. Therefore, in this book, you hear the truth of the one who is worthy. He is the one who was sent by the Father, born of a virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He is the one who rose again on the third day, and he did all of this for each and every one of you. That's the truth of Jesus. That's the truth of his abiding presence. That he declares that he wants to be with you. He wants to abide with you, and He wants to abide in you. Therefore, this morning, seven young people for the first time, seven young Christians will come into His presence. And here Jesus will stand and He will serve them. He will abide with them. And after today, He will abide in them as they receive His body and blood. And you too, those of you who come to the table, believe in your heart that you're receiving your Savior. He Himself is placing His body into your hand or into your mouth. He Himself is giving you His blood to drink, all for the forgiveness of your sins, for the strengthening of your faith. And the Lord knows we need that for life and for salvation. Therefore, my dear friends, come, eat and drink for the remission of all your sins. Live forever in the abiding presence of Jesus, your Lord, your God, your Savior. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.